Welcome, welcome, my friends. Welcome to my co-debaters. We are going to be talking about the number one, the champion of champions. It's going to be quite an interesting time. We've got our buddy Daryl and Ed. We'll see if our friend Brittany is able to come through. But we're all project management professionals, and we're very passionate about project management. And today, we're going to be debating with you, because no debate is complete without your opinion. So we're going to be debating which PMI guide is the champion of champions. First of all, we want you to chat into us. Let us know where you are joining us from. And we want you to participate in the debate. I have put the link in the chat. We have a poll where we want to find out your ideas and opinions. Feel free to put some comments in there as far as which PMI guide is the champion of champions. So, with that said, what comes into your mind when you're thinking about a champion of champions guide? Is that really fair to say a champion of champions? Let me ask Daryl, is that a fair thing to say? Is that even feasible to get a champion of champions? What do you think?
It's, in my opinion, Phil, it is sometimes misinterpreted, because nowadays everybody gets a trophy. So in that opinion, I'm going to leave it just as that.
Come on now, Daryl, you have to expand on that. What do you mean? Like, you can't, even your son is protesting. You can't just leave us hanging like that. You gotta give us some context.
In every competition, Daddy, growing up, there's always a first place winner and a second place winner. In today's society, everybody, no matter what, wins. And the value of winning and losing is diminishing every time we express that approach.
That is very profound, Daryl. What do you think about that, Ed?
Yeah, that's well said. I mean, I was just thinking about that when he said, and I was laughing, because it seems that we are handing out ribbons and plaques for just participating. And I don't know, maybe it's the competitiveness that's in me that's saying, hey, as Bird said, Bird talked about, you know, when he came out for the 3-point contest, he didn't even take off his warm-up top. He said, who's coming in second? Ooh, I like that. You know why I like that so much is because he's saying that he wants to know who's really going to come out here and compete, because I believe that I am going to be number one. And I believe we need to have that in a healthy way. And when I define healthy, meaning that it just brings everyone else's competition level up to want to improve, to want to get better holistically.
Very interesting insights, folks. So for the sake of those who are watching us now, this is so not scripted. This is entirely unscripted. So I have no idea what either of our friends here is going to say, but I'll just say that definitely gives me more context in thinking about, is this fair game? So for those who missed the title, it's which PMI guide is the champion of champions? And I think it's a fair question to ask so that we can put things in perspective. It's not about knocking anything down. That's why we didn't take PMBOK guide versus some other standard or framework. We're talking strictly about PMI's standards. So we have put a link in the chat for those of you who are just coming. If you can help us by voting on what you think is the champion of champions guide. Now, when we say champion of champions, it means different things. Are we talking about which one is the most revenue generating? Are we talking about which one have organizations found the most use for? Are we talking about which organizations have the most value from? Let's be honest, ROI, right? Let's also talk about, just on the world stage, which of these has made a groundbreaking difference. So let me put Ed in a very difficult position. Ed.
Yes.
You see what I'm holding up here?
I do. I know where you know where you're about to go.
Ed, which one is the champion? iPod or iPhone or iPad?
I'm probably going to say iPad.
Tell us why. Just give us some context.
Yeah. So reason why I think the iPad, especially the how they've changed up the iPad with regards to it's become more of a personal computer. Now, the competitor or the one that's similar is like a Microsoft Surface. As you're noticing, devices are getting smaller, but more compact. Having that, being able to be compact, and I'm speaking from an iPad versus Surface standpoint, I like both devices, but what I love about the iPad is the how it's able to sync. So if I have an iPhone, what I'm doing on my iPhone can sync with my iPad, meaning let's say notes or anything of that nature. So it's important to you get, that's how you get caught up in the Apple ecosystem, which again, from a long-term perspective, okay, now this is going to get good to me, Phil and Daryl. So here, you know, at this moment, this is probably where you guys are going to have to stop me. I was just listening to a video by Vusi. Vusi is a really prolific businessman and speaker. And he was talking about the difference between, watch this, a customer experience and customer service. And what he was saying, there's a distinction between the two. A customer experience is where it comes from the heart, where if I walk into a Prezion facility and you and I meet Phil at the door and he's handing me coffee or water or offering me that, or even anyone in his organization is offering me that, it creates an experience. Because watch this, they don't say that's not my job. With a customer service aspect, it comes more of a, well, I got to do what is on this script. And if I can't handle it, I need to move it off somewhere else. So that's why that company Zappos, the reason why they were so successful is because they were able to combine both of those two together, because they cared about the customer experience as well as the customer service. So answering your question, long-winded, I don't know why you handed it to me, you know, I'm dangerous, is the fact of it is that you have to create a customer experience as well as create a customer service. And I believe Apple does an extremely well job, an exceptional job when it comes to that. If they're able to handle both of those pieces, everything from the packaging to the actual device itself. And you can't, you know, even Steve Jobs talked about, he's told a story about his father when he was painting a fence. And they were going to paint the inside of the fence not as well as they painted the exterior of the fence. And his father was like, no, we need to paint the inside of the fence just as well as the exterior, because it's all about the experience and also maintaining. I'll leave it because I'm going to get going and I get excited on these things, Phil. You know, I'm big on customer service as well as the experience. So I'll turn it back to you.
I love that, Ed. It's a great story. And it, you know, it also underscores why when you open an Apple device, for those who have, you're amazed at how precise and well-arranged it looks. So you bring up a great point. Steve Jobs, he would say design is not what it looks like or what it feels like. He'll talk about how it works. So the entire end-to-end experience is also inclusive. And I like the context you're bringing, because in order for a document from the PMI to become a champion of champions, that means we've done some of the things you're mentioning, the due diligence, the research, the customer service aspects, to find out what will really make this a win for the customer. And I believe in time past, when there was a lot of the voice of the customer involved in the creation of these standards, I believe that the proof of the pudding was in the eating. I mean, you've done your research, you've done your homework, you've had the voice of the customer, therefore you're going to get a great win. So that what you said actually has given me context regarding all of these standards, not just the ones on the screen, but also the other ones that have not been put on the screen yet. I know a lot of folks don't know that the PMI has a boatload of standards. In fact, we should probably put that in context, because the link in the chat for the survey is not just asking about the items on the screen. We want to understand beyond the items on the screen, like the entire PMI array of standards. Which one would you say is the champion of champions? Because I'm sure we're going to get some rather interesting responses. And that's why I want people to comment in the survey, not just choose the ones you might identify. So we've got the PMBOK guide, we've got the standard management.
Phil, to understand the reality of where society is at right now, in my opinion, the PMBOK guide, both 6th and 7th edition, is losing its value because it's only capable to be applied in non-AI environments, non-AI projects, portfolios, or even programs. And the value being reduced is not having PMI being innovative to help that younger PM. And it's absolutely about that younger PM, you know, or that future PM who will take over a project and will be asked to implement AI, because it's all around us. So in my opinion, the percentage of the value is reducing every day that this type of project or guidance is not being innovative to the real events of AI and everything else.
That's an interesting take, Daryl. Now, we're actually going to come to one of them down here. What do you have to say about that, Daryl? What do you have to say
about that? That's only touching the surface. You know, there's more to what that title is trying to influence, but there's more to it.
Interesting. Okay, so we have this one, and then we have another one from PMI, I think, down towards the bottom. So there's the Digital Transformation Playbook, and I think there's another AI one somewhere else, but that's an interesting perspective. So Daryl,
if you were to take all that, Phil, does it answer the question, are you AI ready?
To be quite honest, I think the question about AI has to be answered on a deeper level. Is AI going to be applied the same way in every single organization? And the answer is no.
Most likely, yes. The employee will.
I don't believe it will be the same in every organization. I believe that there needs to be some form of agility incorporated into how AI is introduced into firms, because the same way we look at maturity levels, some organizations aren't even IT ready. Talk about AI ready.
That's correct. But your phone is IT ready. Your phone is AI ready. So the bottom up approach is going to most likely be an issue in most organizations. And we're all human beings, Phil. And Ed, we're probably going to be using AI to help with these ROI with the 6th and 7th edition. And then inserting into our work environment and then waiting to get in trouble because we were never told to use that specific AI in that situation. And it's just the human factor of how we think. So that's how I see the percentage, the value, in my opinion, as how I understand AI, and I'm still a student of AI. It's really questioning the value of the credential itself. Where would this credential be valued at in a year or 2 years from now?
That's a rather interesting take. What do you think, Ed?
Yeah, I love the take. I think the challenge though too, Daryl and Phil, is the security measures. A lot of times organizations, and I understand it and get it, because they don't understand the security aspects, meaning from a standpoint of, if I'm taking the company data and I'm leveraging AI, is that data going to be circumvented in a way someone else can poach that data? So the adaption or adoption, is slow because people are still trying, organizations, or I should say, from a security standpoint, is still trying to figure that out. Although you'll have your bandits or those individuals that will just say, hey, well, I'll just go and put it on another computer and use that computer and then pull it and translate it over into my work computer. So there are some challenges there. And I've seen an organization as well where they would have AI, but there are so many firewalls, AKA blockers, from you accessing certain pages, basically whitelisting those pages won't allow you to be able to see what's going on.
And the reason why I bring up AI, Phil and Ed, is because that's the elephant in the room in this profession. You know, AI is either the good or the bad or even the ugly in many situations. So, you know, as we approach the presidential elections coming up next month, and then, you know, in November, I have a strong prediction that AI will most likely be the number one topic for the future president.
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. Now, anchoring it back, because I know some of our viewers, they're trying to understand, okay, where are we going with this? Because they're looking at the topic of AI and they know that there's not been any AI standard prior. So they're wondering if we're going to select the AI one as, you know, as the champion of champions. But you bring up a very good futuristic thought, Daryl. Even if we select which one is the champion of champions now, does the landscape of AI affect how that will be viewed down the road?
Yes.
So my view is twofold. Number one, you got to be agile. Even if you're in the world of AI, you got to be agile. AI is not the problem solver for everything. You still need to have that agile mindset. If you don't have the agile mindset, AI can't help you. Your competitors will keep pulverizing you because, yeah, you got the technology, you got the tools, you got the brain power, but have you got the attitude, the behavior, and the culture to uphold the humans first? I strongly believe in the individuals and in the interactions over the processes and tools any day. And AI is a tool. So I still believe the humanity is going to take preeminence, regardless the kind of tools and the kind of superior AI, the clone Sam Altman and Ilya and all those AI great people at OpenAI. If you're not agile, you're still going to have shortcomings. So I still want to put the humans first, but I also want to put the misnomer into perspective that in order to be a good project manager, you must be a good technologist. In order to be a good project manager of a construction project, I must be an engineer. In order to be a good project manager of an IT hardware project, I must have IT hardware engineering. Or to be a good project manager of a software project, I must know how to write code. And we all know that that is not completely the truth. There are some projects we need to have superior understanding of the technology, but it's not every single one. So, Daryl, you can run circles around many people with just the understanding of Python. But that is not necessarily anyone who can say, well, I can match Daryl in Python. It doesn't mean that they are good project managers. It doesn't mean they can manage schedules. It doesn't mean that they can apply agile thinking. So I think there's going to be a balance in the future regarding AI and still those traditional humanistic approaches and perspectives and ideas. But Daryl, do you think that the AI project manager of the future does need to know some degree of coding and development?
No, Phil. And just going back to your statement of, you know, what you said earlier about project managers need to learn this and need to learn that, there is a potential of having AI enhance that project manager in many ways, using the tools that they have in front of them, starting with your phone, starting with your laptop. You know, so that AI is a, I know we're killing it so much using that word right now, but at what point are we going to take a step back as project managers and understand what that title of this webinar is, which PMI guide is a champion of champions. Now that's relevant now, but in the next couple months, it probably won't be relevant. It will most likely be comparing it with AI agents, AI in general. You know, if AI can do this, AI can do that. And right now, AI is being compared to the PhD student. So it was being compared to a regular, you know, human being. But at this point in September of this year, they're comparing it to the PhD level.
That's really interesting. So let's go for the kill, finally. Which one, Daryl, do you want to put the crown on? Now, don't give me the diplomatic Daryl, because we got the diplomatic Daryl who stays away from trouble. I don't want that Daryl today. I want the real Daryl to stand up. Tell us, Daryl, out of all of those standards, is there one? Or do you want to, like, kind of give us some more expansive thought on why not whichever one you might have initially thought of before AI?
I can give you two answers. One, as a non-AI project manager, in my opinion, the sixth edition is more of a champion because it's more complex and it's more detail oriented, you know, especially on how to maneuver your way around each process. And of course, it's a very complex guide to really memorize. We all, you know, have that bad habit of memorizing things. And I'm guilty of that too. But with the seventh edition, it just loses the value of that motivation to become a PMP, you know, and strive in that profession, in my opinion. So the sixth edition, as a non-AI project manager, the sixth edition. As an AI project manager, none of the above. I would provide a case study on AI with these two guides.
Very
and show the ROI.
Very interesting. So let's bring in a non-human to weigh in. I think the non-human wants to argue with you a little bit, Daryl. Or I don't know. I don't know whether to call it argue or what. Let's get it to speak. So we have ChatGPT, and ChatGPT is trying to pose an argument here. Can you guess which one ChatGPT chose as the champion of champions?
The seventh edition.
Why do you think that?
Because it's much more friendlier to understand, and it's in the area of the innovation of project management.
That is interesting you would say that. Maybe what we should do is bring in the ChatGPT perspective before we go to Ed, just to put some disruption in the flow of things. So let's go to what ChatGPT is thinking. ChatGPT, PMI showdown debate. So it says, the champion of champions is PMBOK 7. The PMBOK guide 7th edition takes the crown for its modern, flexible approach that aligns with the evolving landscape of project management by focusing on principles and outcomes rather than rigid processes. It caters to diverse industries and allows project managers to adapt to both predictive and adaptive environments. It emphasizes its emphasis on value delivery, team empowerment, and holistic success makes it most relevant, the most relevant guide for today's complex, fast-changing project needs. Whether traditional or agile, PMBOK 7 provides the foundational mindset that allows project managers to thrive in any context. So, Daryl, I would love for you, as we go to Ed, first of all, I'd like for you to respond to GPT, and then I'm going to ask you to bring in some of your other cohorts, those favorites of yours. Like, I know Gemini isn't a favorite of Daryl's. Daryl isn't that enthused about Gemini. But
I feel it doesn't matter what chatbot or large language model you're going to be using. It's all pattern recognition. So in my understanding of these chatbots, it's it's going to favor to the person. So with that, with the ChatGPT you're showing right now, it's favoring you because it understands the pattern of recognition that you have been using it, you know, with these types of topics. So that's it may different. Be different in different ChatGPT.
You want to try it on your end? Do you want to try the same prompt and say which PM?
It did.
What did it say?
It automatically included AI agents, which I did not ask that to.
So which one did it choose?
It chose none. Huh. And it showed me that the AI agents are the beneficial factor to using AI in project management. And that's because I trained it to integrate AI in project management. So it understands the pattern in my behavior. So just put that out there. AI has the potential to influence you in many ways.
Why don't you try asking it to choose one standard and see if it gives you the same answer you gave?
I'll definitely do that. But if you want to continue, we'll circle back.
So let's go to Ed. Ed, so going back to your initial statement about how these days, you know, everyone's trying to prevent one champion. What would you say, Ed, about in your mind, just your unfiltered, unbiased opinion about which one is a champion of champions?
Yeah, Phil, I'm going to say PMBOK 6. And the reason why I say PMBOK 6 is because as a project manager, you need to have a tool. I always call it your toolbox. And one of the things with the PMBOK 6 is there's many things that you can extract from. I understand the purpose to condense things down to a smaller, more approachable piece, but the PMBOK 6 is one of those items, books where you can literally, I can refer to with regards to like, okay, I'm having some challenges here in leading this project. Let me go in my standard guide. Again, a standard guide meaning is this is what the standard is, but that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, go above and beyond that. And so being able to reach in there and look at a particular process or look at particular item, it really speaks volumes to be able to extract that information. And it's truly valuable to me. I refer back to the PMBOK 6 more than I do the 7, again, because of how robust it is. And I actually put in that prompt that you just mentioned in ChatGPT myself, and it really broke down the same way that you did. It didn't say 7 was the champion. It was just saying, again, 7 was more value driven, where 6 is more traditional type of project management. So that's my take on it. But the question is, though, Phil, what is the percentage of organizations that lead more of a predictive, aka waterfall approach, versus having an agile mindset, and not just using agile mindset as a buzzword, but actually being pragmatic with the approach to leading particular projects?
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Ed, for sharing that. That, you know, very, very interesting take as well. If you could query to find out what percentage of organizations use a more agile, I really don't know what the statistics are. You know what I believe? I believe that many organizations are more hybrid than they would imagine. So it could be a potpourri of both. But again, Daryl, I put this same thing into another chat tool, another AI tool, and it said, speaking of Gemini, again, Gemini is trying to argue the latest edition of PMBOK Guide is a 7th edition. It was released in August 2021. It said, note, while the 6th edition is no longer actively supported by PMI, it is still a valuable resource for many. So it still is trying to evade, still trying to evade the answer, but it's saying 7th edition is the top and the most current edition. It incorporates the latest industry chart. So it's giving the same narrative, and you're right, it's probably pulling from somewhere, Daryl. So
yes,
again, that's why
you have a perspective on both ends. and you compared it, you know, in your recent YouTube videos. So it's probably at this point trying to analyze that question based upon, you know, your published videos and content and even articles and books. And it's not confused, but it's just learning at this point.
Absolutely. Sister Deidre just jumped in and said, this discussion is intriguing and informative. Thank you all for bringing this conversation up for discussion. Thank you, Deidre. Always a pleasure. And thank you for the comment. I, at this point, would like to ask you, Daryl, to share whatever else your chatbots, your minions. I know you got many of them. Daryl's got he's got a whole host of these AI minions that he can send in different directions.
Well, let's keep that just between us, since you know that can be thrown out of context.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
yes, absolutely. So my ChatGPT, I'm using 4o. It decided to use or choose set December the seventh edition because it opens up the dialogue of feature product management in AI.
Interesting.
And I just asked a simple question: if you were to choose between the two, who would be the champion of champions? And that was the exact question I said. But it, based upon my pattern recognition of asking questions, it brought up AI.
That's quite interesting. Quite interesting. As far as my perspective to all of this, I didn't want to make a decision without considering all the other pieces that PMI has come out with. And I wanted other people to weigh in on the discussion because, to be quite honest, one could think one knows the answer, and the answer might be different for other people. So I want people to go vote at the link. I think it would be nice to revisit this topic after people have voted. So I'm seeing 60% say PMBOK Guide 7 and 40% say PMBOK 6 or earlier. So right now, it's leaning in the direction of PMBOK 7. But I would also like those who think it's something else to comment. As far as my perception of the landscape and the market, let me just be perfectly honest. Because I do this, as you guys know, I'm preaching to the choir here for a living. So I go around helping companies, training companies, and I must say, what they are most interested in is, how can you elevate how we're doing things today? And for them, a lot of times they have values and principles. I went to this organization, spot on values and principles right there in line with what's in the Agile Manifesto. In fact, I could probably teach an entire Agile session with their values and principles. But when it came to the repeatability of the good things they were doing elsewhere, they were not able to do that. And the reason alludes to what you gentlemen had said. There's nowhere to go for direction. There's nowhere to go for clear, this is how it's done. And I know for some people that might look immature, but not every organization is running on a 2-week sprint or 4-week sprint. Some organizations have a 1-day project. Some organizations have a 2-year project. But the summary is people want to make things repeatable. They want to make things standardized, measurable, controllable, and they want to be able to improve. And this is the SCMI model that PMI talks about in one of their previous standards. Now, they have a fourth edition of this, but this is the edition that I got certified in. So when people see OPM3 behind my name, this is the guide that I studied to get OPM3 certified, along with the program standard and the other project standard that was there at the time. So if I was going to be perfectly honest and say which guide could give an organization massive bang for the buck, I'd say having this mindedness. Having this mindedness spans way beyond just project management. It spans way beyond program management, and it spans way beyond portfolio management. And if only organizations can understand what maturity means and how to tailor the different levels of maturity, I think they will get much further ahead, even in the age of AI, because Daryl, let's be honest, the projects that need to be done in the world of AI, they are a different animal. We cannot approach them using the initiating, planning, executing, or just say, let's go off principles in the seventh. No, there is
I disagree with you. And this is putting on the business thinking cap. As a business, and I'm only gossiping and speculating, but as a business owner or even an organization, I feel that organizations will most likely adopt AI when they get the warm and fuzzy from Google, Amazon, and Microsoft. Once they get the warm and fuzzy from those three main top companies, AI will most likely be integrated in some fashion.
Well, don't you think that AI projects cannot be managed exactly the same way we have managed other projects? I'm not talking about the general thinking or the business thinking. I'm just saying the way you would manage an AI project would have to be agile. And that still points back to maturity, because for an organization to show maturity in agile, there must be the valuing of individuals and interactions over the processes and tools and so on. You get what I'm saying?
And again, I agree and disagree, because we do have that human bad habit of having the AI do everything for us. So yes, that's where I disagree with you, because at some point, you know, and this is my experience with exploring the AI environment. I mean, I would love to have AI take over everything in my life. You know, and that's the human aspect of me. So if I can think that as a person, then someone else will most likely think that. And I'm pretty sure 99% someone else is out there is saying, I'll just let AI take care of it.
So you think we'll get to a point where AI will manage AI projects instead of humans managing the AI projects?
I hope not, Phil, because we still have to have the human in the loop. For safety reasons, security reasons, and other reasons that, you know, the AI gods are talking about, Ray Kurzweil, Alex Techmark, you know, all the Jan LeCun, you know, they're saying AI is going to take over, you know, being that, you know, human being. I don't believe that right now. However, if we don't put some sort of safety mechanism or some sort of trigger to provide boundaries, someone's going to do the bad thing. You know, if you take a look at human behavior, we're all wired to survive. And within that survival wireness, we're all in tune for violence. Going back to the caveman days, you know, it's all violent. That's how we survived. So that's in this true day and age, we're going to have to be in a position where no matter what the differences are between different project managers, we're going to have to come together and provide some sort of global standards or global, you know, framework to help with this AI movement.
So I would really love to strip things down, because I know we're at a very high level, you know, speaking about stuff we understand, but let's break it down for the layman. What does an AI implementation look like in choose a company of your choice? And let's break it down. Let's talk about an engineering company. What would that look like when we say AI implementation, the coming of AI coming into this firm? What would that look like? What would they do differently? What would they be working on? Or let's even talk about a sweet manufacturing company. They make candy. What would that look like in a company like that?
That I can't give you a very educated answer, Phil. I can only give you what I've experienced.
Again, to your point, Daryl, I mean, we got AI to tap on the shoulder and say, so we can always ask for context. But what I'm thinking, what I'm seeing, it still boils down to three things. The coming of AI in any company, it still boils down to the people, the process, and the business. Just like PMI has often said, there's going to be a change in maybe the people or in the process, and the process will involve tools. Right, and the business
one more
products.
You're missing one more.
Say that. Which one?
The last one is AI agents.
So that would, in my mind, that's under the processes and the tools. It's under the processes and the tools. So you know, when I think about people, process, business, I'm thinking about the processes and the tools as one lump, and I'm thinking about the business, the products. You know, the re-engineering of whatever is happening is in the process, but the people have to also adapt. So how, when we say AI projects are really different, and let's break that down. How are they different from an IT cybersecurity project?
So I'm gonna just take a pause and step back with that topic, Phil, because let's pick this up a year from now and see if this reasoning of adding the AI agents as part of those number, was it number four that you mentioned, three, the number four, the fourth one, in my opinion, is going to be AI agents. Now let's pick this back up in a year from now to see where the entire world will be with AI, you know, because there's supposedly a lot of predictions out there, you know, from the very high level, you know, with AI coming into our lives, you know. So I'll be excited to have this conversation a year from now, talking about what AI is.
I get your point, Daryl, but I don't think it's too premature, because a lot of our viewers, and you know, a lot of them have jumped on recently. It will be nice to give them an idea in their own industries. So what should we call it? An AI transformation?
At this point, I would break it down: AI-driven AI implementation. There's also being the term out there called AI-native project management, where you're using the software tools and using that and implementing AI in that perspective. And of course, there's cognitive PM. So not only you're talking about these other topics, but going back to the title of this webinar, that's the mothership, like what you've always expressed and influence. The mothership don't have the future resources to have a project manager guide themselves through this AI movement. And I'm using this platform to make everybody understand that AI is not just next year. AI is everywhere. And to put that in perspective, being a PM, you're falling behind if you don't implement AI in some fashion, either personally or professionally. And to be honest, I would not be clicking on this video because there's no, how is it going to tell me to adopt AI to younger talent? Right now, we're only hitting the senior folks or the individuals in that industry, in this industry. We're not targeting the younger people out there.
But you again, know? Daryl, to put things in context, yes, we can put AI in everything, but what about the general project management scales? Do you think those will be replaced by AI?
In some fashion. However, I just hope it won't overly take it all, you know, some fashion. My belief, and I believe that humans need to be, you know, in the loop at all times. However, there's other, you know, perspective of using AI, you know, with projects.
Very interesting. Let's bring Ed in, because Ed has been absorbing the conversation. So I'm guessing that you're extrapolating the details, Ed. What are you thinking?
No, I mean it's a good back and forth. I'm sitting here learning. You know, every time you guys discuss AI in this type of format, it gives me more perspective because I'm looking at it from a standard of what we do, what we're currently doing, and it Daryl forces me to think more futuristic. And you're right, we have been using AI, but it hasn't been really popularized until, I don't want to say until recently, because that wouldn't be fair. Because when we're texting and all of a sudden it recommends a word, that's AI. And so it's one of these things where you're right, we do need to start integrating that more and more. But from what I've seen, it's again those security measures. I keep coming back to that foundational aspect because a lot of organizations that I've been in, they wouldn't allow you to use AI. They block it. And now there are certain pieces that is already automated from an AI standpoint. But for me, just to go in and pull up my ChatGPT or Claude or you name the language, the learning language model or whatever, however you say that, Daryl, you'll back me up on that. If I couldn't go in there and do that. But we do need to start preparing ourselves, and this is why we have you as our teacher when it comes to AI, to get prepared and prepped so we're not left behind when if this thing does take off, next week, next month, next year, so we're more aligned about what is actually about to happen. Because you're right, it is going to take over, but how much is it going to take over? Because I still believe in anything, you still need a people aspect. If you're driving an autonomous car, you still need to keep your hands on the steering wheel to a certain degree. If you don't, then you will get, a warning, and then eventually they may, because of the accidents they've seen. Now, watch how this makes sense too. I'm saying that, but I contradict myself. There's a program that's going on in Arizona, as well as I do, and you may be able to speak to this, Arizona, I think San Francisco, where they have cars that are like the Uber version that are picking up, and they looked at the stats, and they have had less accidents or incidents than a person behind the wheel. And that is very scary for one, because of the fact of you're like, okay, would I rather drive myself or would I rather get in a car that I know there's a higher percent of chance that I'm not going to get in an accident or, you can't avoid the people that's out there, but just in general. So it is scary, Daryl, but at the same time, scary to me means excitement, just like, when about opportunity and a threat. I mean, threat means opportunity. Again, it's the glasses that you wear of how you look at it.
Daryl, comment.
The understanding of how AI will impact us all professionally and personally, to that product manager is going to come down to that question: how am I getting myself ready for an interview when this company is AI, trying to use AI and so forth? So I feel that the job industry will most likely get tougher because of that reason. And if we're not influencing or even sharing ideas of AI in project management because we're just waiting for, the powers that be to say it's okay to use it, we're just falling behind as project managers. And that's where the value to me is being diminished. Because at some point you're gonna say, I need another job. Let's look for another job. Oh man, this company is gonna be asking me about AI stuff. I don't know about AI. Okay, let me look at the Pinbot guide. There's nothing in AI, there's nothing about AI right now. So that makes you much less valuable in some ways at this point.
So, Daryl, from what I'm hearing you say, we need to be thinking hyperly about AI in project management and its application. That's kind of what I'm getting. Like, we might be missing the boat if we're not putting more focus. And I know PMI is doing their best. They got the generative AI course. They got a bunch of other courses. They came out with the announcement they've gotten an AI seems like more like an AI research firm that also has the CPMAI. So is that right, mm-hmm. Daryl? Am I saying it the right
way? Yes.
So based on your little research about that whole development, can you give us a breakdown on what whatever you've read so far? Because I know you've read more about it than I have.
So I've read and I've also ingested in ChatGPT's, Google, and some other AI environments. It's reaching out to the cognitive side of project management. And Ed, this is where your understanding of being a magnetic project manager will shine, because at that level of the cognitive side of project management, everything we just discussed is going to point down to the cognitive side of that PM. So yes, I encourage everybody out there to start including AI in topics like this, because one, with this title, and I'm not bashing you, Phil, I'm expressing the concern of AI in project management. We're still putting AI under the table. And we're putting into our minds like, okay, we'll just talk about that later. You know, right now it's just, you know, sixth edition and seventh edition. However, AI is all around us now, whether we like it or not. So how would this webinar help me to be innovative, even at the basics, mm-hmm. you know, using sixth edition and seventh edition? How is this going to help me as a project manager? Or even studying for the PM, the PMP.
So you bring up another good question, Daryl. So it's not necessarily how will we implement AI in our companies, engineering, healthcare, gaming, whatever. It's how can I leverage AI as a project manager? And that's a very good question, because a lot of people don't even know where to start.
Correct. Even me. As much as I've explored AI, I still don't know where to start. I'm still learning.
Well, come on now, Daryl, because you're my AI coach, and I've got an idea of where to start. The obvious way. Come on now. the way you taught us the very first time you brought this to the meeting. Ask AI. Yes. But some people don't even know how to ask AI.
But so that understanding will most likely change when companies adopt to AI, because they get that warmer fuzzy from the top tier organizations.
I think what might be good, Daryl, is if we give people some context. Is it fair to try to? I've got a few ideas. So let's bring them up on the screen, and you chime in with Ed as far as the context. Okay. Now, I'm very glad that we're all opposed to the idea that there's one single, this is a champion of champions, or opposed to each other's idea of which one is a champion. I think that's actually very healthy. And it shows our viewers that this is not cooked or planned. Because in my mind, I'm thinking it's all about maturity in the firm that is tailored to the project types. But going a little bit beyond that, going into what does AI implementation look like across different firm types? Let's have the beginnings of that dialogue, because I know a lot of PMs have not really considered it. So AI transformation across industries. Let's give this a little bit of thought. Let's talk about different sectors. Let's bring in the engineering sector. What could that look like? Just a few ideas. Design optimization. Predictive maintenance, that would use data. And the data, guess who's crunching the data? It's not a human, it's AI. But knowing how to get AI involved in crunching data like this, or process automation and control, or CAD, maybe the human doesn't even need to use AutoCAD anymore. Maybe the AI does all the designs based on a very simple prompt engineering from the human. What else do you think of when you think of engineering and AI?
Phil, going back to the topic of this session, between the two, what would benefit the most in this in this area with engineering and AI transformation?
Yeah, to be quite honest, so you can have great minds in a project, Daryl, but if they're not well coordinated and structured, it will amount to nothing. So that brings the where I'm conflicted, and that's why I want people to weigh in. Because we could say, oh, you focus on the PMs, understand of the five process groups and the technology areas. But then when you come into an environment like this, will that truly sustain the PM's efforts? On a more
advanced, it may or may not.
Yeah, on an advanced project. I guess, like you said, it could also depend on, to borrow your terminology, AI agents, and how well you're able to bridle those AI agents.
Yes.
But what is the principle of a project manager anyway? The foundation is problem solver. And being able to walk into an organization, here comes you, Phil, maturity. Okay, now we look at Daryl AI. There's still an aspect of you still got to find out if you're coming in as a consultant and this organization is thinking of implementing AI, you still have to get them mature enough to be able to implement AI. And you need to be able to know what to ask AI in order to develop that maturity. Now, I know what you're maybe thinking, Daryl, and I may be wrong, but hey, I'll take a shot. I used to play basketball, so I used to shoot at this thing called a basket. And what I'm thinking is maybe you're saying, well, maybe there'll be some AI prompts out there that people will sell an organization to help them be able to deliver that information. But yet and still, you're still going to need a resource to be able to implement that, to understand the context that's coming out, to be able to create that process automatic, as well as understanding what the predictive maintenance is. So I still believe there's still a human effort that's going to be required. So I wait for your rebuttal. I know you're about to give me a good one, because you're already smiling, so this is not going to be good. So let's go, Daryl.
And again, Ed, I agree and I disagree. I agree on every context you just expressed. I disagree on humans being the problem solvers, because at this point, AI is also a problem solver in many aspects, no matter how you look at it. It can provide so much different, it can't do physical things right now, but it can do digital things. It can solve problems digitally. So that's where I disagree with you. Not only as we humans are problem solvers or project managers, but AI is also a problem solver.
But is AI a problem solver without a human in the loop, Daryl, asking the right questions?
Yes, both have to be in that same environment, in my opinion. You need one or the other. It's like the misconception of EVM and earned schedule. Earned schedule was supposedly the blue pill for EVM, but you need EVM and you need earned schedule together, or else it's going to be garbage in, garbage out. So it's going to have to be a situation where you're going to need both.
So you need both. So what I'm hearing is we need some sort of project manager mindset, awareness, problem solving maturity, but we also need the ability to bridle AI. So we're saying that both will help us in these future type of projects. That's what I'm hearing. It's not one without the other, correct? Would you agree?
That's correct. However, with the human aspect involved with our habits, most likely, we're going to be thinking, we'll just let AI do it.
But Phil, I want to come back to Daryl on this challenge about the problem solver piece for a human, because what I believe is that if AI gives me a solution, if I don't know my audience, that solution may not work well. Like, it may be an approach where I'm very direct and directive, but if it doesn't know the emotional aspect of my audience, I mean, am I going to be able to type in, hey, this particular project team member or stakeholder, they have these emotions, and with these emotions, this is how, you know. But again, it goes back to the input, because I would have to understand how to articulate that into the system, which will be able to have a better conversation.
You're correct. However, with AI advancing so fast, it's not only text-based, it's a voice-to-voice. Mm-hmm. So having that connection with an AI, I mean, come on, you go on your Apple iPhone and your Google Android, you have AI girlfriends. Mm-hmm. So that human connection, especially with the voice-to-voice, that's going to influence the project manager in many ways. So yes, I agree and I disagree, because that mindset will work at a text-based AI environment. However, voice-to-voice is also being implemented. It already has. Mm-hmm. So the connection between that voice you hear from that AI and yourself interacting with that AI, it has the potential to influence you.
Well, I see where you're going with that, Daryl, but again, I'm gonna borrow some from you. I agree and I disagree. You're right. I agree with you. It has the chance to influence you, but I disagree, because a lot of times when we buy things, we don't buy them off of logic. We buy them off emotions. And when you are in project management, how do you get people that, watch this, don't report into you, but you have to be persuasive enough to get to earn their respect and maintain and keep their respect. And this is being persuasive in a way which still keeps the integrity together of what you're asking them. So again, I agree with you, but I disagree with, because you have to be persuasive. I've never bought anything, and I hate to say this, logically. Yeah, I've done the research and went and done and said, yeah, I looked at all these things. But then emotionally, I was like, you know what? I deserve this. And I start talking myself into the purchase of that particular item. All right, here you go. You're smiling again. This is getting good to me. Go ahead. Let's go.
And I'm looking at it both as a project manager and as a regular Joe Schmo. Mm-hmm. Today's laptops and desktops, computers, it comes with NPUs, neural processing units. And that means the AI will learn every behavior, everything you search, and it'll learn only for you, because that's what it's instructed to do. Now, with that mindset, Ed, of you buying stuff because you deserve it, that AI is going to understand that, and it's going to foresee that basic human connection, and it's going to chime in somehow with a text or voice on your computer or iPhone and say, hey, I think you need that new Tesla for yourself. So it's going to eventually grow that way or push that way as we integrate AI in many ways, because AI is everywhere regardless.
Very interesting, gents. Let's jump straight back into pivot of what Daryl said. AI is everywhere. So again, we got to remember our audience is not all, they're not all aficionados like some of us are, right? So let's very quickly go through a laundry list. Healthcare, AI-powered diagnosis and telemedicine and AI-driven diagnostics. Construction, planning, safety, monitoring, design, modeling, predictive equipment maintenance, smart construction, candy making, production optimization, quality control, supply chain management, flavor development. These are very complicated projects, very complex projects too. Smart manufacturing lines, AI-based flavor creation, finance, fraud detection. This is stuff we already know, but maybe having some more AI input. Education, this is one that a lot of colleges are going to hate. Let's be honest. Personalized learning, automated grading, intelligent tutoring. Can you imagine having an AI level, AI training you on the level of a 50-year experienced professor? I'm telling you, education, they probably don't want these projects. Daryl smiling.
Again, you're going to be encountering AI. I mean, at this point, you even have calling agents.
Yes.
You know, how can you determine between your between an AI agent and a real person?
That's so true. That's
even true. In every industry, every company, organization, dialing that phone number, you know, either you know through an iPhone or landline, you're gonna encounter AI.
And it's gonna get better and better. I absolutely agree, Daryl. Absolutely. Retail.
I was going to say, Phil, can we talk about that education real quick from a high level? Like, I agree with you from an educational standpoint, too. This is what I'm going to say respectfully. A lot of professors that are teaching the curriculum have not lived the curriculum. Did I say that out loud? Okay. Meaning that if you're teaching me business and you've never led or ran a business, why wouldn't you take that own information and use it for yourself in a sense? So now with AI being able to be able to cultivate that, and they're taking theory and pragmatic, being able to be pragmatic, looking at real world experiences and combining all that together, it is a threat to education. And let me say this crystal clear so we don't have any misconception and you don't say, well, ED, what you got degrees. So which is, well, I am saying I respect education. I think it's a great tool. However, we have to start implementing real world because what ends up happening is someone coming out of college and they're getting their first job as a project manager or project coordinator, whatever that role is. They have challenges and struggles because, first of all, they don't understand the politics. Then they don't understand the people that comes with the politics. How do I navigate around this environment? So, yeah.
Ed, and that's where you're going to encounter Insta experts, you know, in the near future. Because at this point, if that person with the right prompt and the right questions to ask AI, that person will most likely hang with us in this session and just talk strictly by what the AI is giving, you know, the feedback from. So, you know, it's interesting to see that. And yes, I know everyone's starting not to like the AI term, but like I said, it's everywhere because, you know, it's good. It's going to be interesting in the next year or 2-3 years down the line.
Absolutely. Let's get to the last four. The one you've talked about quite a bit, Daryl, about picking up the phone and having someone on the other end, but it's AI powered. Absolutely, right? So AI powered customer support, but also inventory management. You know, all these things many of them are already in place, working today. Agriculture, precision farming, crop monitoring, robotic harvesting, hospitality, guest personalization. You might one day have an AI bot welcoming you to the hotel, giving you a handshake. You just don't know. And then transportation and logistics. So autonomous vehicles, as Ed was mentioning earlier, and AI fleet management, smart warehousing, real-time tracking, and so on. So why are we showing all of these? Because we're trying to sensitize people to the fact that a time will come where these projects are more commonplace and understanding how to navigate them is important. It will go beyond just being able to code or test or develop, but understanding all the moving parts and components of a typical artificial intelligence project. With all of that said, we still are back to the question, which PMI guide today is a champion of champions? Because I know our viewers, they want that question answered. So the last roll call, I believe Daryl has said, based on the complexity and the ability to have different dimensions, which could help us better map things from the world of AI. Your answer, Daryl, your final answer?
It's the sixth edition.
PMBOK 6. Ed, what is your answer?
I'm going with the sixth edition, Phil, for 100.
And my answer is in looking at maturity, because I think if you were to look at a model for maturity and you are effectively able to scale it across projects, programs, and portfolios, I think you might achieve success. So the champion of champions is probably going to differ on a person-by-person basis. For us who are the tactical, tactile project managers trying to put out immediate fires, I think we're going to find a ton more value in PMBOK. Well, don't let me speak for everyone. Either 7, like GPT and Gemini, or 6. For those people who are not into that world of traditional and they haven't really been able to see beyond the walls of an agile environment, they're going to probably look at this one, the Agile Practice Guide. For those people who are more into the world of WBS creation, earned value management, they're definitely going to gravitate more towards standards like the WBS standard and the EVM standard. So I think the question of the champion of champions is going to be highly situational. I don't think there's one right answer. But the reason why Ed, Daryl, and I have come together like this is to generate discussions that need to be had about business, about artificial intelligence, and about the PMI as a whole. So we're hoping that you got some value from it. We're keen on knowing which PMBOK do you think is a champion of champions, or which standard do you think is a champion of champions? We didn't even talk about process groups or practice guide. That's also one to throw in. It really depends on whatever people are doing. So I'm going to ask each one of the gentlemen to wrap up. Who wants to go first?
I can go first because Ed is amazing in motivational speaking. So to wrap it up, I just wanted to influence everybody that this session is not a bashing session of AI and project management. It's just more to influence and to share knowledge of AI, because a lot of, and I'm speaking at a very speculative perspective, the PM industry is rarely talking about AI and project management. And I believe at this point in time, in this late of 2024, we should be talking about these type of topics.
Beautiful. Any advice for PMI as far as artificial intelligence in project management is concerned?
My advice is don't get hyped up on AI taking over your job. Worry about the value you can provide to your company and the company that you are working for, and you know, stay ahead. You know, learn the basics of AI. You don't have to be a coder. You know, you can ask ChatGPT to make you understand what this AI movement is about. Learn the basics, and you get ahead just by learning the basics and staying in that journey of your work environment.
Good deal, Daryl. And specifically for PMI, the Project Management Institute, any insights or things you would like to see as an AI influencer?
I hope, and I'm slowly seeing it, is the future concern is the value the PMP can hold in the future, because eventually AI will be able to do all these things for us. Either making a project charter, which at this point it can, but we got to fact check it, you know, to the point where we're making a project schedule, we still got to fact check it. But the value of the PMP credential, in my professional opinion, that's where I'm concerned.
How do you think that should morph? So PMI has recently acquired an organization. They have the CPM AI. The same way PMI grafted on some agile onto the PMP back in 2020, is this something you expect to see, or that you think would add value, or maybe too early for that? What do you think?
It might be too early, depending on when the robots are coming. So that's the other topic to discuss. How will project managers interact with robots? I mean, physical robots. And, you know, supposedly Elon Musk and Meta, they're saying the robots are coming. So the PMBOK guide or PMI hasn't even expressed that future technology of how to be a successful PM in that environment.
So you're sharing a very spooky thought, Daryl. But, you know, as a guideline, if the robots eventually do come, I just... people need to tamper on the side of making them puny robots, more nerdy than brawny. We don't want an Arnold type robot coming to our meetings with all that brawn, and you don't want to get into a fist fight with that one. So make them nerdy.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Daryl. All right, let's go to our buddy Ed.
Yeah, I think it boils down to, you know, what we talked about at the beginning of this live, which was service and experience. And the reason why I say these two components again is because it doesn't matter if it's PIN box 6, 7, 37, it doesn't matter if you can't provide the service and experience. Again, these are tools. Tools do what? They allow you to go after the problem, but it doesn't make up for the magnetic aspect of yourself of being a magnetic project manager by influencing someone and inspiring, as John Maxwell talks about. So having that ability to be able to be influential and providing service as well as an experience is going to what makes you an exceptional project manager, in my humble opinion. When you go out to eat, you may make that dish at home, but you go for the service and most of all the experience that you have with your family and friends. And that is what I'm always pushing for, to set yourself aside from other project managers. Watch this: be willing to do what others won't do so you can have what others won't have. Thank you.
Ed, it sounds like you're also expressing the opportunity for project managers to not only think about IQ, but EQ.
Absolutely, Daryl. I always think that, you know, for emotional quotation, it's important because being able to have an ability to make a decision versus a choice. And when you make that decision, you have more of an autonomy, you have more of a confidence, you're leading with confidence and having the courage to make a mistake, knowing that you have the ability to recover. So again, I'm always saying experience, you know, experience and having the actual customer service aspect are some foundational keys to be able to be exceptional.
Great stuff, gentlemen. I really appreciate the diverse viewpoints. This is what makes a debate a wholesome debate, because if everybody gravitates towards one direction, then it just seems one-sided and the people listening are not really able to take away as much value. But I like the fact that we've given people more perspectives, more ideas to think about. But I know our friends at PMI, they would not forgive me if I didn't remind people, we're not saying the only good work that PMI has done is in the PMBOK guide. No one is saying that. What we're saying is there are many standards in the world of PMI, and we gave everyone the opportunity to vote. We put a link in the chat and we said, go ahead and let us know which of these do you think is a champion of champions. And there's option D, which is other. And other just means maybe it's not PMBOK 6, it's not PMBOK 7, it's not Agile Practice Guide, go ahead and vote. So I am going to remind you, just to give you context, I know PMI, they do a great job in putting all of this information together into standardization, and I don't want to diminish it, right? I'm very grateful. I don't want to, you know, be the one who made it look like I didn't benefit from other guides. So we have PMBOK Guide 7. We have the standard for program management, which I have reviewed extensively in my Udemy course. I think this is also a great standard, the standard for earned value management, which I love as well. Standard, the guide to business analysis, which I have used extensively too. The standard for portfolio management, which contains some good insights. In the practice guides, we got the first of its kind, AI Essentials for Project Professionals. It's not entirely where it's going, but it's a good beginning. Is it fair to say it's a good beginning, Daryl?
It is, Phil. Absolutely. It's about time.
Yeah. All right. Risk management. One thing I got to give PMI the kudos for, this is unbelievably, it's free. It's free. They didn't ask us to pay PMBOK Guide money. Now, this flips it on its head, because you, Daryl, of course, a lot of emphasis in what you've said today is AI. The most valuable piece from the future perspective, right, of AI would be this, and it's free. So if you haven't downloaded it and taken a look, we encourage people to do that. Risk management in portfolios, programs, and projects, very controversial, but nonetheless, it's got some great stuff. And when I say controversial, I'm talking about things that we discuss at higher levels of risk management. My buddy, the risk doctor, and I, we've had this discussion once or twice. Agile practice guide, great groundbreaking guide. PMI, this needs an update. So whatever you're doing with AI, remember that this also needs a little bit of a facelift. It's what, 7 years or even more? The standard for organizational project management, the OPM standard, which I showed you the predecessor of that, great one. In my mind, this can help. If the right people are reading it with an understanding of what this means, I think they can set the organization in the right direction. Practice standard for estimating is another one. I haven't dabbled too much into this, but definitely a good one for estimators. Practice standard for scheduling, third edition, another good one. I've taken the certification based on this PMI-SP and also the certification based on this one, PMI-RMP. So if you have any questions about those, do put them in the chat. This is one of my favorites, the practice standard for WBS creation. So in my mind, if I was embarking on an AI venture, I'm going to be thinking WBS level for sure. So for those of you who are on projects like a groundbreaking and unknown, you could benefit from not only Agile, but also from the world of WBS creation. This is the previous standard for risk, which is still out there. Business analysis for practitioners, second edition. I have not doubled very much into this, but the previous edition was cool. Process groups of practice guide. This is pretty much a PMBOK 6 clone. Let's just call it what it is. This is a PMBOK 6 clone. And then benefits realization management. This is also a very good one for understanding the difference between benefits versus deliverable versus, value versus benefits has always been a big topic in all the PMI. Requirements management, a practice guide, great one that everybody should be aware of because requirements are everywhere. Governance for portfolios, programs, and projects, a practice guide. Navigating complexity, speaking about what Daryl was mentioning today, it could also be a good one because AI projects are complex. Managing change in organizations, one of my favorites. I actually have an entire curriculum on that. Project configuration management, definitely insightful. The Digital Transformation Playbook, I have not read this one. Choose Your Wow, not read that one. Introduction to Discipline Agile Delivery, second edition. Another one I have not read. So the three at the bottom, I'm not very familiar with. Everything else I am. So PMI has done some really great work, but which of these would you say is the champion of champions? That was really the question. And I didn't expect to get a uniform answer from everyone who jumped on the call, but we want to encourage you to go vote. And if it's something other than the PMBOK or the Agile Guide, we want you to also share with us why you think whatever you're choosing is the champion of champions. And honestly, won't you agree, gentlemen, that's a very subjective title, champion of champions?
Very subjective.
What do you think, Daryl?
Very, very subjective. However, thinking on a general mindset, the champion of champions is more likely AI. So just being
trust the AI influencer to put AI front and center. So, but Daryl, we can't choose that AI book because it's still cooking. It's still in the oven. Maybe come back in a few months or years and we'll be able to tell, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, everyone. It's that time. We got to shut it down and close. We want to say a big thank you to you for hanging out with us for about an hour, 20 minutes. And we look forward to seeing your votes. Put your votes in, go to that link, and let's see what exactly you're thinking. Thank you all very much. All the very best in your journey, whether it's the journey of AI, the journey of project management. We're here for you. We've got three channels. We got the Conscious Agility channel from Ed. We got the Influence IPM channel from Daryl. These are all on YouTube, and we got Restless Minds from Daryl as well. Gentlemen, please put your handles in the chat because I know some folks may want to be connected to hear more from you. So if you can put those handles in the chat. People will be able to find your channels. And then I'm going to beam them on the screen here momentarily. So look for Ed at this handle on YouTube. Thank you very much. And Daryl has got a couple. Like I said, Influence IPM is one, and Restless Minds. We'll just wait to get those handles, and I'll display them on the screen. And then the Praiseion channel, just Praiseion. You can find that on YouTube. So let's see. We'll wait to get your handles. And for those of you project managers who might be wondering, I need further guidance. I need to get better in my world of project management. Do you have any vehicles that can help me? There's several vehicles that can help you. First of all, I recommend that you check out the Project Leadership channel. The Project Leadership Institute channel on YouTube is one. So if you just do at Project Leadership Institute, you can find that. And we also have Project Leadership Institute podcast. Everywhere there are podcasts. And we also have the PM Anonymous channel. All right. We have one of our friends said, shout out to y'all. Salute to ED. Your videos helped me pass my... Wow. Fantastic. Congrats, Christian, on passing the CAPM exam. Awesome, awesome feedback. Lovely. Thank you, Christian. All right. Make sure you hit Ed's channel with that comment if you haven't already. All right. And Daryl, what's the, is it at Influence IPM? Is that the handle? On YouTube? I think it is at Influence
IPM. Can you post it? Yes. Yes, that's correct. My comment didn't go through.
Oh, how strange. Okay. So there we have it. At Influence IPM, let me put that on the screen. So if you go to at Influence IPM, that's Daryl's channel. And then what is the one for Restless Minds?
At Restless Minds 671.
At Restless Minds 671. Okay. Very good. Let's put that on the screen because it is important people know how to connect, because you just never know who you've connected with. So that's that. And as far as the Praiseion channel, just look for at Praiseion. You can't miss that. And for those of you project managers who are stuck and are looking for a way out, go to pmanonymous.com. You can sign up for training, coaching, mentoring, be it in Agile, be it in Predictive, be it in Hybrid, whatever you're stuck on in your day-to-day work. We have helped many a PM, many a director, many a manager get clarity on how to navigate this terrain. All right. Did I forget anything, guys? Did we get it all?
Nope. We got it all.
We covered it all.
Awesome. Well, I want to say big thank you to our buddies Ed and Daryl here for coming on a weekend. It's only us crazy people that do this when everyone else is having a good time. But we also want to thank the viewers who are here on a weekend, because it could have been very easy to say no. So they obviously committed to the cause. And we also want to say thank you to PMI, because honestly, without PMI, we three wouldn't be connected. Isn't that right? Probably
absolutely
not, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Agree. And I want to send a special shout out to Christian again for that as well, for passing this CAPM, because that's huge. So thank you for that acknowledgement. And again, congratulations.
Awesome stuff. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Talk to you soon.